Well, hey, Vine Church fam, I'm so thankful that we live in a time such as this where we get to connect over technology, even if we can't be in the same room together. If I haven't had the privilege to meet you yet, my name is Tyler West, and I have the honor to serve as the founder and lead pastor here at the Vine Church. If there's any way that I can serve you or specifically pray for you, you can reach out to me at tyler.west@thevine.tv, or you can reach me on my cell phone at 864-706-9634. If it's your first time hanging out with us here at The Vine, we're so thankful that you have been here. We're going to ask you to take a next step today, if you will. Please reach out to us at hello@thevine.tv if there's any way that we can serve you. Hey, maybe you're struggling with something and you want to know how you can walk through it in the Bible. We would love to send you a reading plan for that. Hey, maybe you need a Bible. We would love to send you that. I promise you, when you share your email with us, we're not going to fill your inbox up with junk mail. We just want to make sure that you have a point of contact if there's any way that we can serve you or specifically pray for you in any way. So if it's your first time here, give us a little wave and reach out to us at hello@thevine.tv, and we would love to see you in the garden when we all get to gather together in the same room very soon, because we've got a seat saved just for you. Speaking of connecting throughout the week here at the Vine Church, we are creating multiple opportunities for us to connect virtually together and share encouragement in prayer. Many of you are watching right now on Facebook Live, but some of you are listening via podcast or watching on YouTube or whatever way you connect with us throughout the week. So I want to give you our Facebook Vine Church page so you can see how you can connect with us throughout the week. And it's facebook.com/TheVineTV, capital SC. And if you're watching on there, you'll see that. But when you go to our Vine Church Facebook page, go ahead and click on the events tab over on the side, and you will see the opportunities we have throughout the week to connect. Now, on Monday morning, we have a Facebook Live Devo and prayer. Wednesday at lunch, we have a Facebook Live Devo and prayer. And also Thursday evening, we have our greenhouse gathering, which is encouragement and prayer. And sometimes we will have even more than that to connect with you throughout the week. So make sure you check that out and connect with us throughout the week. We would love to see you there. If there's any way that we can pray for you in that, we would love to do that with you there. We say it every week here at the Vine Church, we're going to be the church that turns the world upside down with the gospel instead of being the church turned upside down by the world. We're going to do that in how we love God and how we love others. And here at the Vine Church, we have sowers that love God and love others and how they give of their time, their talent, and their treasure. Now, here at the Vine Church, we don't talk to you about a number. We don't talk to you about a percentage, because we want to be known as the church that is the obedient church and the church that is obedient to do whatever Jesus has called us to do. So maybe Jesus has put something on your heart to give, to be a part of what he's doing at the Vine. I would encourage you and challenge you to take him at his word in that. And if you would like to take advantage of that, you can do that at thevine.tv/give. Now, I want to tell you, here at the Vine Church, we walk what we talk. Every month, 10% of all tithes and offerings received goes to the local church around the world, and 5% of all tithes and offerings received goes to gospel-centered nonprofits. So 15% goes straight out every month. But on top of that, we have our Heart for the House offerings, as well as opportunities where we see that we need to fill a need in the community. And in 30 months since we've launched, we've seen over $93,000 go to global missions around the world. So I'm telling you, here at the Vine Church, it's not about trying to get a dollar figure from you. We're just trying to be obedient to what Christ has called us to do. So if you would like to be a part of that, go check out thevine.tv/give. And we would love to see you there doing that. Also, hey, maybe it's not your treasure that you're trying to give today, but you have a time or talent you would love to connect with us here at the Vine Church and give. We would love to do that. Reach out to us again at hello@thevine.tv, and we'll get you in contact with some folks that would love to serve and connect with you. I'm about to pray over the service today, and we're going to have some worship, and we're going to dive into our series called The Bridge. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us just to connect together. Jesus, 20 years ago, this would not even seem possible. This would not even seem necessary. As a matter of fact, this would seem so futuristic and so just something that we couldn't even imagine doing, that it's only you that we get to do this. So thank you for that. Jesus, we would be remiss if we weren't lifting up each and every medical worker to you right now that is on the front lines facing this virus, every law enforcement officer, every teacher that's having to do things virtually, Jesus be with them, every student who's having to learn virtually without their friends in classrooms, every parent that's investing in their student children and loving on them through that, Jesus, we just lift them up. And Jesus, we lift up our nation, we lift up our leaders, we pray that they would seek you and that they would take the next step you are calling them to take. And Jesus, I just know that through this, you are going to reveal your will and reveal your glory. So right now, Jesus, those that are hurting, I just pray that you would wrap your arms around them and that they would feel you in the room right now as surely as I feel you here with me. We love you, Jesus. We can't believe we get to do this to bring your name fame. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now let's worship together and lift Jesus' name high.
got really good at wearing a mask. And if you wear that mask for a long enough time, you lose your own identity somewhere along the way.
I remember those days of getting up and saying, just get me to the point where I can lay back down and go to sleep.
It just consumed me. It was there from the moment I got up in the morning to the moment I passed out at night.
I had always had some glimmer of hope, but there was a point where that was gone.
You don't understand in a situation like this what possible good could come from such a horrendous thing, but God can do anything.
There is hope, and even when you don't feel like there is a way, God has a way to the other side.
Well, Vine Church fam, I'm so thankful that we get to continue into our series called The Bridge. You know, over these next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking how Jesus became the bridge to unity, authenticity, hope, growth, and life for each and every one of us. And because he became the bridge for us, how we get to live in a relationship with him and be exactly who he created us to be through that relationship in him. And that only happens by faith, believing he is who he says he is. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of age here, and I'm going to ask, you can leave a wave or whatever comment if you'd like to make fun of me. It's okay. But how many of us remember a movie called Hope Floats in the 90s? I'm a child of the 90s, born in the 80s. So yeah, now maybe you don't remember about Birdie and Justin, but maybe you remember the song that Garth Brooks sang, that Adele also sang, To Make You Feel My Love, like that song many of us know, right? Like, how many folks remember that, right? Well, I just want to go ahead and lay my cards all out on the table today. And I want to let you know that in this message, I'm going to tell you, hope don't float. All right? So hope don't float. As a matter of fact, as we dive into this today, we're going to be talking about hope in this series called The Bridge. I want to talk to you about what psychologists say are the five things that lead to hopelessness in our life. And maybe this will connect with you today. And if you want to talk with someone about that today, we would love to talk with you. And so maybe this describes some of us today. I believe we can probably say 5 out of 5 for many of us. So here we go. Number one, the number one thing that leads to a feeling and a sense of hopelessness for us is loneliness or isolation. Now, in this season we're in, many of us are in isolation almost because we're in quarantine trying to make sure we stop the spread. So I know that that covers many of us. The second thing that leads to a feeling of hopelessness is a lack of control. Now, if you've got kids at home right now from school, you probably feel like you have a lack of control. The third thing that leads to a feeling and a sense of hopelessness is feeling like your life has no purpose. Now, that may get some of us today. The fourth thing is grief. If you're walking through grief, it can put you in a state of hopelessness. Maybe you're grieving the loss of someone, you're in a grief from job loss, or you're just in grief, period, because of what you see happening in the world around you. I believe that that covers many of us today. And the number five thing that leaves us in a sense of hopelessness is a lack of basic needs. Now, I'm laughing right now because if you go to the store right now, you would think that none of us have any basic needs because the shelves are swiped no matter when you go. But the thing that I'm laughing about is it's no funny matter. Many of us today and many of us that are watching today may actually lack basic needs, and it leaves us feeling hopeless. So today, how many of us scored in any of those? How many of us, leave me a hand raise or let me know. Don't worry, nobody's going to judge you for it. How many of us did any of those cover? I'm pretty sure I'm going to raise both hands because it covered just about all of them for me. And because we can be in that state, especially in the season that we're in right now, we can be in a sense of hopelessness. And so we're going to watch movies and want to believe that hope floats, but I want to tell you today that real hope is so much more than that. So the question I want to start off with today is I want to ask you this: what kind of hope do you have? What kind of hope do you have? Because if you're in hopelessness, the only reason that you would move forward is you have hope. So my question for each and every one of us today is, what kind of hope do you have? And today I want to talk to you about three hopes that many of us have right now because we've been in a sense or in a state of hopelessness from those five things I just talked about. The first type of hope I want to talk to you about today is wishful hope. Wishful hope. Now, wishful hope is, it goes something like this. You're running late for a meeting or running late for a big appointment, and the red light is red and you just need it to be green, and you say this, I wish that light would change to green. Now, odds are it's not going to happen when you do it. You get real excited if it is, but it's wishful thing. As a matter of fact, wishful hope is like this. It means, man, even though I didn't plant a garden in my backyard, how crazy would it be like if macaroni and cheese grew in my backyard, like, or if banana pudding just grew on a tree, like how crazy awesome would that be? Wishful hope would be believing that there are angels in the outfield. You know what I'm saying? That the angels win the pennant. I'm child of the 90s, man. If you know anything about that, come on, man. That had to give you a laugh. But wishful hope for many of us is a hope that we think we've hit the lottery, and so we go after it. And so what we learn is, in our sense of helplessness, that wishful hope is a false hope because it feels worthless and makes us feel worthless when it doesn't work. As soon as we realize we aren't going to experience it, we go and sink back into hopelessness. Now, the second type of hope I want to talk to you about today is expectant hope. Now, expectant hope's a little bit different than wishful hope or wanting to win the lottery, kind of, if I could say it right. Expectant hope means that I planted corn, tomatoes, and cucumbers in my backyard. And so because of that, I'm expectant that I'm going to reap that. Now, if I planted corn, I'm not expectant that macaroni and cheese is going to grow. I'm expecting that corn could grow. As a matter of fact, when we talk about folks who are expecting a child, that means they're expecting it. But the thing that we learn in a tragedy that happens many a times, especially if mothers are expecting, is sometimes the baby doesn't come. And so our expectant hope is a step up from wishful hope, but it's not certain hope. It's not guaranteed hope. As a matter of fact, it's a hope that even though we know that the better days are ahead, they aren't guaranteed. And I believe that many of us may be stuck in that hope today. And the third hope that I want to talk to you about, I talked about here just a second ago, was this: certain hope. So you can have wishful hope, you can have expectant hope, or you can have certain hope. And certain hope is knowing for certain that you will get what you hope for. As a matter of fact, it means that you have no reservation of what you're hoping for happening, because you have confirmation that what you are certain of getting, you're going to get. As a matter of fact, certain hope is something that makes you know that nothing will stop you from experiencing it. And if there's anything that I really, really want you to know today, it's not that hope floats, it's that certain hope is available to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how that plays out in a story that's very familiar to most of us, especially at this time of year, that is Easter. So if you've got your Bible today, we are going to be hanging out in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We're going to spend a lot of our series in the Gospel of John. If you don't have a Bible today, I would love to show you how you can hang out with us on the Bible app. So here's how you're going to do it. We're going to show you right now. You're going to download the Bible app from the App Store. Once you do that, you're going to open it up. Once you open it up, you're going to click on the More tab. When you click on the More tab, you want to click on Events. Make sure your Location Services is on. And once you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV Worship Experience. You're going to see all of the scripture we're going to walk through, a place where you can take notes, but also a place where we can connect together throughout the week. So if you've got your Bible today, I've already got mine up here ready to go in it. And John chapter 11 is where we're going to start, and we're going to be unpacking these hopes today, starting in verse 1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, if you know anything about me, I love taking deep dives in the Bible, and names are so important in the Bible. So let me tell you the name of what Lazarus means really quick. If you know this story and you know the ending and how it's going to go, it's going to make even more sense here in a second. Lazarus means God has helped. God has helped. And the place that he is from is Bethany, and it is known as the house of affliction. As a matter of fact, it is from Chaldees' origin, and we've unpacked that before as we walk through different series. So if you want to see that, we'd love to walk with that through you. But so Lazarus means God has helped from the place of affliction. See how this plays out in a minute? If you don't get anything else, isn't that just awesome? Isn't Jesus awesome? He just drops it right in the first verse. Now we're going to go on to verse 2, okay? It says this: this Mary, whose brother whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. She's the one who anointed him, if you remember that story, especially at this time of year with the alabaster jar. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." How fitting. A lot of us are walking through sickness right now in the time that we live in. When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So Jesus sends word back to them, and everyone around him hears, hey, Lazarus isn't going to die. It won't end in death. So know that this sickness won't end in death, okay? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed there for 2 more days. Mark that down, 2 more days. That's important. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you were going back?" Jesus answered, "Are not the 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep," circle that, highlight that, "but I'm going there to wake him up." We can see this hope playing out already. There's a wishful hope that Jesus would come heal Lazarus by Mary and Martha. There's an expectant hope of the disciples to say, hey, Lazarus is just sick, and so he's going to be healed, so it's okay that we stay behind, but we're expecting you to heal him, Jesus. But Jesus is saying your hope has to be certain, because if you're looking in verse 10, he says, if a person walks at night, they stumble, for they have no light. He's talking about the things of this world. Everything in this world will try to prevent you from having a certain hope and will give you the false hope of expectation and the false hope of wishful hope in everything that it does. And it will come up to you and make you think that it's certain hope. And Jesus is showing, and he's going to show through this story, that a certain hope is the only hope that matters. Now remember, Lazarus means God has helped, and he's from the house of affliction in Bethany. Remember, Jesus stayed behind 2 days. He told the sisters that their brother would be healed, that he wouldn't be sick anymore, that the sickness would not end in death. He stays behind, does what he needs to do. And so the disciples ask him questions about it in verse 12 and 13. We're going to skip to verse 14. And this is what I love about Jesus, because he's just real with grace and truth. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." What happened in 2 verses? What? Lazarus is dead? Like, he was, Jesus, you said he was, the sickness would not end in death, that he was just asleep. Well, Lazarus is dead? You see, that's where I think many of us are right now. We are seeing a lot of things in our life we feel like are dead. Maybe the career we had, maybe the free time we had, maybe the snacks we had hidden from the kids. I don't know. Like, maybe there's something that we had that we feel like is dead. And Jesus is telling us right now that this will not end in death. It's just sickness and it will be healed. But all of a sudden we hear this word, hey, it's dead. It's done. And so imagine what Mary and Martha are going through. Imagine what the disciples are going through. The confusion, because Jesus is showing them right now that a wishful hope of wishing Jesus was there is not gonna change what Lazarus' situation is. An expectant hope that Jesus will heal him while he's sick and that death will not happen isn't going to change Lazarus' condition. But instead, a certain hope will. If we don't have the right hope here, we'll miss it. Let's get to verse 17 here and continue on in this story. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, this is important. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. So time out. So Jesus stayed behind 2 days in Jerusalem. Bethany was only 2 miles away. So it was a 30-minute walk from one place to the next that Jesus could have just healed Lazarus. These are all the things that are running through their mind. And I believe right now in this season that we're in, we're probably trying to ask Jesus these same questions right now. We're going to see what Jesus does when we know where our hope lies. It says that many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Do you see this? Do you see this? In verse 19, all hope is lost. They're in hopelessness. They're like, hey, the dream is dead. Everything's dead. Everything we had hoped for is dead. Our wishful hope is dead. Our expectant hope is dead. Like, we don't know what to hope in anymore. Jesus, if you had just been here, then my brother would not be dead, but he would be alive. And then it goes into verse 21 here. Martha is saying, if you would have just been here, look, she's going back to wishful hope. She went from hopelessness. She saw Jesus in the vicinity. And now she's saying, wishfully, Jesus, if you would have just been here, my brother would not be dead. He would have been healed. Verse 22, when she says, but I know that now God will give you whatever you ask. Now she's expectant to say, hey, I wish you would have been here to heal my brother, but I know if anybody else is dead or anybody else is sick that you can heal them because God will give you what you ask, but I'm not quite sure that you can do anything for my brother anymore. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 23. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You see, this is so important because the Jews even believed in the resurrection of the last day, but they didn't realize that the only way they were going to get there was through Jesus. And so they're missing this. And so Martha is saying, hey, I believe in you, Jesus, but I only believe in you with a wishful hope and an expectant hope. The only certain hope that I have is that I won't see my brother on this side of eternity, but I'll see him again at the last day. I love what Jesus says to her in verse 25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I told you I love the Gospel of John because Jesus talks about, do you believe in me more than any other time in the New Testament? Over 90 times we know that, right? The 240 odd times that believe is mentioned in the New Testament. Over 90 is in the Gospel of John. And Jesus is saying, hey, the hope that you had was wishful. The hope that you had was expectant, but I'm going to give you a hope that is certain. And the certainty is what Jesus has said before, that anyone who gives their life to follow him and dies to follow him will find life. But anyone who tries to hold their life to not follow him will certainly lose it. He's saying similar thing right here to Mary and Martha. He's saying, hey, Lazarus will live again, but do you believe he will? He's asking her what kind of hope she has. And I believe that this is what he's trying to do here. Because the thing is, when it seems that everything is done, when it seems everything is dead, when that hopeless situation arises and Jesus comes in, hope is doing something because God is up to something. Now we're going to scoot past this verse that we know so well when Jesus wept in verse 35, but let's scoot down to verse 38 to continue seeing about this hope that we're talking about today. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the circle, this dead man. By this time, there's a bad odor because he has been in there for 4 days. Don't miss this. Religion had given Martha a hope that she would see her brother not on this side of eternity, but on the other side of eternity. And the thing that we can get caught in so many times, especially here where we're located in the Vine and the Bible Belt, is we think religion is where we can find our hope, but we miss out because religion can point to a lot of things, but it can't give us hope because it will only give us expectant hope. It will only give us wishful hope, but it will never let us experience certain hope until Jesus comes in the picture. And that's what's about to happen here is Jesus is coming in the picture and he is about to do something big. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The thing that you can't miss here is when God sends his word out, it will never return void. And so Lazarus had no choice but to follow and come out of that tomb because Jesus spoke it over him. That is the certain hope that all of us can have, is that Jesus, when he speaks, it will come to pass. And so right now, as we're in this season where we feel like there are so many dead things in our life, maybe we've lost our jobs or maybe we've lost our time because we can't go out anywhere. We're stuck at home. We're in quarantine. Maybe we feel like the dreams that we had were lost, or maybe we feel like all of the things around us just seem like death and destruction. But the thing that I want you to know is Jesus is telling you right now that he is the resurrection and the life, and that through him you can have a hope for eternal life, that nothing in this world can do that. And so when he calls out to Lazarus in this moment, he can't help but come forward. Verse 44 is so huge. Circle this. The dead man came out. Because Jesus spoke it. And so I want you to see, this isn't the Undertaker coming out. This isn't something that we watch on television. This is real life. Dead things brought to life happen in Christ Jesus. Those things that you thought were dead, maybe you have been trying to have wishful hope for. Maybe you have been trying to have expectant hope for. But in Christ Jesus, he said he'll do it. It will come to pass. I'm telling you right now, but you have to believe. And so the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." You see, for many of us, we've read this story for many times growing up in church. Many of us have heard this story around Easter many times. And they say, and maybe we're in this place right now where we can say, yeah, that's awesome that Jesus did that for them. But he can't do that for me, can he? He can't take the things in my life. He can't take this crazy, chaotic situation that I have and turn it around for his glory and my good, can he? And so to help you with that, I want you to understand what kind of hope you have. The second thing I want you to understand today is where your hope comes from. Because right now in this season that we're in, I believe that Jesus is showing us the only hope that is certain, and that is the hope that's him. Because what we're learning more than anything in this season that we're in is people can't hold our hope, our bank accounts can't hold our hope, our government can't hold our hope, our careers can't hold our hope, our kids can't hold our hope, our cars can't hold our hope, our house can't hold our hope. There's nothing in this world that can ever hold our hope. But Jesus can, because when he is our certain hope, I'm telling you, no matter whatever's happening in this world today, in him, we can have peace no matter what storm comes our way. That is what he is showing Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, is that when we have a certain hope, we can see things in our life that we thought were hopeless come straight to life. And so the writer of Hebrews said it this way, when I think of an example of what real hope is, and it's something you would expect us to talk about in hope, and so I want to share it with you today. So if you've got your Bible, let's flip over to Hebrews, and then as we go into Hebrews, we're going to get there, and it's going to be Hebrews 6, verse 18, and the beginning of verse 19, and it says this: "God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I want you to know today, if your hope is in anything else but Jesus Christ, it will always come up short. You see, what the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us is this. You see, there's three things that are happening here in this story when it's talking about hope. And there's three things that are happening here in the writer of Hebrews that he's talking about. There are three things that hope is tethered to. You see, the boat. Boat. When you think about an anchor, it's got to be tethered to a boat or it's useless, right? Like, a boat is important to have an anchor. If you go out, there are two things you have to have when you go on a boat. An anchor and a life vest. Outside of the keys, probably, and gas, but really, really, really. Anchor and a life vest are the two things that you have to have. And the size of the boat depends on the size of the anchor that it matters. And so what I want you to see in this story are the three things that hope is tethered to. And I want you to look at it this way. I want you to imagine that the boat is your soul. I want you to imagine that the sea that the boat is on is life. And if you've ever been on a boat or you've ever traveled by boat, you know that you can go from one destination to the next. The beginning and end is the same, but how you get there is always different. You can always go from London to New York by boat, but the thing is, because the seas change, there are storms there, you have to change the routes, the currents matter, that you get there a different way every time, but you end up in the same place. And so I want you to know today that the sea will always have storms on it. So the sea of life is chaotic. The boat is your soul. I want you to also see that the anchor is what Jesus did for you. When you have a certain hope, that anchor is important. But you see, an anchor not connected to the boat is useless. See, there has to be a connection to the boat. There has to be something holding the boat in place, because we just saw here in Hebrews, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, both firm and secure. And the thing that holds the anchor to the boat, the thing that holds our hope to our soul, is belief that Jesus is who he says he is, and we call that salvation. Because you see, when you've got an anchor for your life, no matter what the sea is doing around you, no matter what life throws at you, I want you to see that your boat, your soul, can be firm and secure. How is it firm? Where an anchor keeps a boat firm, because it keeps it from drifting in the sea. As a matter of fact, normally it will keep it in somewhat of a circular pattern, so that way it absorbs the roughness of the sea. It keeps it firm. It keeps it firm. Many of us right now may be in Christ Jesus, and in this season, it's really easy for us to drift, isn't it? Let's remember where our hope lies and what it's anchored to, so that way we aren't tossed to and fro by the sea. But we're firm no matter what this world throws at us. But you see, there's another thing. It says that it's secure. You see, it keeps it secure because it gives it stability in the storm. It makes sure not only does it not drift out into the ocean or into the storm, but the anchor keeps it secure where it won't topple over. And you see, when our hope is anchored to the right thing, when our hope is anchored to the certain thing, the only thing that's ever been certain, that's ever walked this earth, and that is Jesus Christ, no matter what this world throws at us, as a matter of fact, it's going to throw a lot at us. And even though we're in this season right now, we're going to face seasons like it again. The one thing that sustains us and pulls us through is our hope that is in Christ Jesus. But we have to be tethered to it. We have to be connected to it by believing he is who he says he is. Because when I look at that boat and I look at that anchor, I want to ask you, is the boat holding on to the anchor, or is the anchor holding on to the boat? What I want you to see today is when your hope is anchored in the right place and you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and you know that he is the only certain hope that you can have, your soul is tethered to that anchor, and the anchor is holding on to you more than you're holding on to the anchor, because that boat can't do anything to hang on to the anchor. It can't. It can only trust that the anchor will hold it. And so today, wherever you are, maybe you think, and you're walking through something, I want you to see, maybe you think that, hey, maybe God is mad at me. Maybe God's mad at me. He couldn't love me this way. There's no way that God would ever love me to hold on to me. And I want you to see today that that anchor is holding on to you, and you can spend your whole life trying to fight that anchor, keeping you safe, firm and secure and having joy in all seasons and having hope that is certain. You can fight it your whole life and be tossed to and fro by the waves, or you could be connected to it by believing Jesus is who he says he is. Because when I look at the anchor, I can see that the waves don't weigh the anchor down. The anchor holds firm and secure. As a matter of fact, the hope that is the anchor doesn't float. When I look at the hope, it really gets to the bottom of what you're going through and holds you and sustains you through it. And so today, I want you to go on not living a life that is a hold on to dear life, hope, philosophy, where you have wishful hope and expectant hope that will always come up short. I want you today to have certain hope. Because after this encounter with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, people were able to see what certain hope looked like because they could believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he is the resurrection and the life. And the thing that I want you to know is that God's not let go of you. Maybe right now you've been drifting. I want you to know God's not let go of you. Would you just surrender it to him? Whatever it is you're trying to hold on to, would you just let it go and surrender it to him? Hey, maybe right now I believe the Spirit is moving and people are waking up to see they've spent their whole life fighting for control, fighting to hold it all together, fighting in isolation, fighting the very thing that God is trying to do and give them a hope no matter what this world throws at them. And they're fighting the anchor instead of just being connected to it. And right now, I want to tell you, like a boat being tossed to and fro in the sea without an anchor, you will flip. But when you're connected with Jesus, this world can't stop you from being all that he's created you to be. I'm not telling you that the seas are going to be easy. I'm not going to tell you the seas are going to be rough, because I'm not going to lie to you and say that it's easy. But I can tell you, no matter what this world throws at me, I can have hope because I know that Jesus is who he says he is. And so today, I just want to ask you right now, Have you ever connected your life to Jesus? You see, the thing is, all of us are born in sin. All of us are a boat on that sea, not connected to anything. We're trying to hope and believe that the world and the ocean will sustain us. And we believe that even when the storms come, we're going to ride it out and we hold on for dear life. And we go through storm after storm and we go, whew, I got through that one. I don't think I'll ever have to go through another one again. And then all of a sudden on the horizon is a big crest of a wave that's about to take us out. We spend our whole life doing that. And the thing is, because each and every one of us were born into that, we were born into sin. And because of sin, we are guaranteed death. Death. Eternal death. But you see, God loved us enough that he made a way. He sent his son down to this earth to live a perfect life we couldn't live. Die the death that we deserve on the cross for our sins. So he paid the penalty for sin that is death for us. And he loves us enough that he didn't stay dead. He left an empty tomb so that we can have hope, that we can live heaven on earth right now, that we can be all that we were created to be now. We don't have to wait till eternity to experience it. We can be who he made us to be now. We can walk in hope, peace, joy, love. We can have all of these things through all seasons, but it's only when we are connected to him, our certain hope. And so just like Jesus asked Mary and Martha, in this moment, I just want to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Because the thing is, we're going to come out of this crazy season. We are. I'm telling you right now, we are. But the thing is, there's going to be another crazy season on the horizon that we're going to have to walk through. And are you just going to hang on for dear life? Are you going to trust the only thing that can give you life? And so today, maybe you want to give your life to Jesus and you want to be connected to him. And I want to help you because someone helped me. You know, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5 says it this way about this hope that Jesus gives us. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope, a certain hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish." That means no pandemic, no economic crash, no fire, no bad medical diagnosis, nothing this world can throw at you can take away the hope that Christ gives you, okay? Nothing. It is eternal. It says it will not spoil or fade. "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, this. In Christ Jesus, we have a living hope. We just have to believe. And so today, with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to say a prayer as a family, and I'm going to ask everyone to repeat out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith for the first time, this prayer. Now, it's not the words of this prayer that'll get you saved. It's the faith. It's the faith. Martha kept questioning Jesus in this, and she didn't have faith until she saw her brother. And the thing is, I want to tell you today, faith, faith, faith that Jesus is who he says he is will let you be saved and be connected to that anchor and that hope that is going to give you a firm and secure salvation, a firm and secure life on the craziness of this sea. So if you would like to give your life to Jesus, and even if not, our whole family is going to be praying with you. So please repeat these words out loud after me. And it goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you're listening right now and for the first time you can say that you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that you're no longer living in a wishful hope or an expectant hope, but you can now walk in a certain hope because you know Jesus is who he says he is. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you right now, you can raise your hand in the comments. If you're watching at live.thevine.tv, you'll see a hand raised that you can click on. If you're listening throughout the week, you can let us know at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. We have people who would love to celebrate this hope with you and let you know that you are not walking through this season alone. We would love to get a Bible in your hands. We would love to pray with you. We would love to walk with you through what it looks like to read a Bible. But more importantly, we would love to connect you with a local church, even as all of us are in this season where we're meeting virtually. And for the rest of us, I'm going to say a quick prayer and we're going to continue into worship. But I want to ask you today, maybe you've forgotten where your hope lies. Maybe you've forgotten what your hope is in. Maybe you've been in a life where you've drifted, that you've been in wishful hope or expectant hope that tomorrow is going to be a better day, or at least I hope it is. But today, Jesus has reminded you that you have a certain hope. And maybe you just need to talk to somebody today because you're walking through a season of loneliness and isolation. You're walking through grief. You're walking through those five things we've talked about in the beginning. Maybe you feel like you've lost control of your life or you don't feel you have purpose. I would be remiss to say even in this season that you thought the world would be better off without me. And I want to tell you, it won't be. It won't be. If you need to talk to someone today, please, please, please reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. We would love to pray with you. We would love to walk with you through this, and we want you to know that you aren't walking through it alone. So let's pray, and then we're going to continue into worship. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we get to lift your name high. Jesus, thank you that you are our hope. Thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you that by believing in you, we can be tethered to you. We can be connected with you, that we can survive, not survive, but live, Jesus. We can have life abundantly. We can't no longer live in a survival strategy, but instead we live in a hope-filled strategy that obediently follows you step by step. No matter what the wind and the waves bring, Jesus, we are firm and secure because our hope is in you. And even when it seems like all is lost around us and we are filled or see hopelessness all around us, we are only filled with hope. So Jesus, today I pray that you would remind us of the hope that you've given us. I pray that in this hopelessness that is surrounding us, Jesus, that we would know that our hope is secure in you and that we would share you with all that we encounter, dear Lord. We love you, Jesus. We can't believe you let us do this. It's in your wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Let's continue into worship.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on the cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Sing it out.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. You shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
It was such an honor to get to connect with you today. Thank you for making space for us to do that. And I want you to know that we would love to continue to connect with you throughout the week. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. Please reach out to our prayer team at prayer@divine.tv. Maybe you just have some questions in general that you are walking through in this season, and we would love to help. Reach out to us at hello@divine.tv, and we would love to connect you with some folks that would love to answer those questions you have. As we go in through this season and we continue to take these steps, remember where our hope lies. In Christ alone, no matter what this world throws at us, He is our hope and He is holding on to us, and we will make it through because we know that as long as there is a breath inside of us, He ain't done. So I want you to know today, whatever you're walking through, that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that we love you and we love having an opportunity to connect with you. And I want to invite you back with us next week as we continue our series called The Bridge and we learn about growth. I'm going to pray us off right quick so that we can have an incredible week. Dear Jesus, once again, thank you for this opportunity that we get to come lift your name high. Jesus, right now, this world, it is promised, will throw chaos at us at every turn. But Jesus, you alone are our peace. You are our hope. Thank you for being with us no matter what this world throws at us. So I pray as we go out this week that we would just be focused fully on you and that we would know where our hope lies, we would know what hope we have, and we would know who our hope is in. So I just pray for every person that's listening right now, Jesus, whatever they're walking through, I pray that they would lay it at your feet and that they would trust you with it. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.